Well, if you have a copy of God's Word, I would encourage you to turn back to that portion that was read earlier in the book of Joel. Now, if you're looking for the book of Joel and you can't find it as yet, then if you can find the break between the Old and New Testaments and work back into the Old Testament, Joel is the 11th book back from the break. But Joel chapter 3, and our text tonight is the verse 14. And I believe this text is very relevant to this gospel mission and possibly very relevant to some heart in the gathering tonight. Joel chapter 3, and the verse 14, we find a pleading concerning men and women and their need to get right with God. It says in our text, Joel 3, verse 14, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. We're looking at the title very simply tonight, decision time, decision time. But with God's word open before us, let's seek the Lord's face again in a word of prayer, please. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for every aspect of this service already. We thank Thee for the singing that has been done to Thy glory. We thank Thee for the reading of Thy word. We thank Thee for a word of testimony concerning the saving grace of God. And all, Father, we do pray, bless us for the preaching of Thy truth now. Help men and women, boys and girls, to realize that tonight in this mission, they're in the valley of decision and they need to prepare to meet their God. Undertake for the need. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we come to the book of Joel, very little is actually known about the prophet Joel. There's not an awful lot of detail given in the book concerning the man himself, but one thing we do know is that his name tells us a wonderful truth. His name means the Lord is God. Now, maybe you haven't realized that yet tonight. Maybe you've just wandered into the gospel mission. Well, I want you to learn this from the outset tonight, that even the name Joel points us to the true and living God and tells us the Lord is God. But one thing we do know about Joel is that he was preaching in Jerusalem. He was preaching to Judah, the southern kingdom, before the Babylonian captivity. He was probably in the same time as the prophet Amos. And we find that Israel had everything that they could possibly have. The people were wealthy. There was material things. There was prosperity at every hand. And we find that when wealth and when prosperity and when material things came to the Jewish people, that so often they forgot the true and living God and they turned to their own selves. Now, isn't that just like our society in Dromore tonight? When we think of all the wealth that there is, when we think of all the money that abounds, when we think that nobody here really has something that they want and therefore can't have, we live in a very materialistic society. So Israel was that way too. And just like Israel, we too have turned away from the true and living God. Now, we read in Joel chapter 1, we're not going to read it tonight, but in the first 12 verses, we read about the sins of Judah. We read of how God is going to bring judgment to Judah. And there is an appeal. Look at chapter 1 and the verse 13. There is an appeal with God's people to get right with God again. It says in the verse 13, "Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests, Howl, ye ministers of the altar, come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. Now there you find that it's the people of God too that have gone astray. What a terrible society that is, and how we are the same. Howdermore tonight is full of church-going people. Howdermore tonight is full of people that believe in God and are maybe religious people. Maybe this field tonight is full of religious church-going people, but as yet they're not right with God. And look at chapter 1, verse 14. It says, sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of your God, and cry unto the Lord. Why is there this urgency? Why is this appeal going forth to get right with God? Look at the verse 15. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Why do we need to get right with God? Because there is a judgment day coming. Because the day of the Lord is coming. Friend, maybe you came to this gospel mission tonight to pacify a friend. Maybe you came because somebody has been bugging you for weeks now, saying, will you go to at least one meeting? Maybe you're here because you have a genuine interest. I don't know what has brought you to the field tonight, but one thing I do know is this, that the day of the Lord, the judgment day, is coming, and it's coming, friend, and you need to get right with God before that day. But then what else do we discover in the book of Job? Well, look at chapter 2 and the verses 1 and 2. You find that the preacher has a job. Joel has a job to sound the alarm, to tell the truth, to echo the warning, to warn men and women that they need to get right with God. It says in chapter 2, verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Why? For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess. Oh, friend, do you understand? That's the reason why there's a mission on tonight. That's the reason why I'm standing here on the platform tonight. That's why I'm preaching from the book of Joel to you tonight. I'm sounding the alarm. I'm telling you the day of judgment is coming. The day of the Lord is near. And I'm asking you, friend, are you right with God? For that day is coming. But then what else do we learn? Well, look at chapter 2 and the verses 12 and 13. You see, we find a turning point here. We find in the book of Joel, in the middle of chapter 2, we find a turning point. Because essentially, chapter 1 and the first half of chapter 2 is all about God's judgment against Judah if they continue on in their sin. But we find from the middle of chapter 2 through to the end of chapter 3 that then the blessings are recorded, the wonderful hope, the wonderful salvation, the wonderful deliverance that is there if we only do what our key verse in chapter 2 verse 12 says. It says, with all of this in mind, that our sin is serious, the judgment is coming, it says in chapter 2, verse 12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart. Now look at this in the verse 13. And rend your heart, and not your garments. So don't just pretend. Don't just have an outward appearance that you're right with God. Don't just pretend by going to church or holding a Bible under your arm or talking spiritual talk. It's not about the exterior. It's all about the heart. It's all about if you're truly walking with God. And it says in the verse 13, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. And look at this now in the verse 13. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Oh, friend, do you realize tonight that this preacher is doing his best, appealing to your soul, telling you that the day of the Lord is drawing nigh, telling you that sin is serious, telling you that there is a judgment day. But I'm also here to tell you that if you come to the Lord, then he's merciful, friend. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. Praise God. He's willing to save you. He's willing to take you. He's willing to wash all your sins away beneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though the day of the Lord is coming, you can be ready for that day. You can be ready for that time when you'll have to stand before God. You can be ready to stand before God at the day of the Lord, and the Father can look at you and he can say, "That is my child. That individual is saved. That individual has repented and believed the gospel." And they can look at you, the Father can look at you and can say, "All I see is Christ." You can be ready. All you've got to do is turn. And that's where our verse comes in. Look at chapter 3 and the verse 14 again. So there's a decision to be made tonight, folks. Are you going to stay in your sin and appear that way before God at the judgment? Or are you going to turn your heart to the Almighty? And will you be saved? Because Joel chapter 3 in the verse 14 states, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near, in the valley of decision." Oh, friend, you've got a choice to make. And I want to tell you this, that every individual in every car tonight, all of us will make a decision. You'll drive out of this field tonight and you'll either leave accepting Christ or rejecting Christ. But I want to tell you this, after you've heard of Christ, after you've heard of Calvary, after you've heard that Christ died for the ungodly, there is no leaving after hearing that message and leaving piggy in the middle without making a decision. All of us will make a decision tonight. So I ask you, what think ye of Christ? It's decision time, folks. Are you going to get right with God? Now look at the verse 14 of chapter 3 again with me, please. We find, number one, the people. The people. It says multitudes. Multitudes in the valley of decision. Oh, beloved, be under no illusion. There are millions of people that are in the valley of decision tonight. And every single one that has yet rejected Christ and yet has breath in their chest still finds themselves in the valley of decision. Our brother, when he gave his testimony, he read those words about how an individual cannot serve two masters. Oh, beloved, you can't serve God and the devil. You can't think you're living for God and yet live in your sin. You can't live for heaven and live for hell at the same time. You can't enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season and yet be a holy individual. You can't have it both ways. You're in the valley of decision tonight, and I ask you, what's your decision going to be? For there are multitudes, multitudes tonight in the valley of decision. I ask, are you still in that valley? Have you still to decide to follow Jesus? Are you still one that is going to decide that you are going to get right with God? And I want to say this, that all of us are born in the valley of decision. You see, friend, the Bible says that we are all born in sin. We're all shapen in iniquity. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you may not like that, but friend, I'm not in the business of pacifying your conscience. I'm not in the business of massaging your ego tonight. I'm here to sound the alarm, to tell you the truth. And the truth is this, that we are all sinners. We're born in sin. We all need to make a decision when it comes to the things of God. So we're born in the valley of decision because we're born in sin. And the Bible further tells us, for the wages of sin is death. That's serious, beloved, but praise God, the verse doesn't end there. For it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's a decision to be made. Which will it be? Is it going to be the wages of sin? Is it going to be death? Or is it going to be the gift of God? Is it going to be eternal life? Is it going to be Jesus Christ? I ask you, friend, in the valley of decision, which are you going to choose? Because there's multitudes there. You know, I once heard a brethren man, a very godly individual. I was in his hardware store. And he said, Daniel, you know this, there's only one thing that's good about the broad road. And I said, brother, what's that? What's a good thing about the broad road? And he said, it's broad enough to turn. Praise God, tonight you can repent. Praise God, you can make a decision tonight. Praise God, you can be saved tonight. You can make a U-turn. You can repent. You can turn from your hellward direction. You can turn from your sin. You can turn from your folly. And you can turn to Jesus Christ. And I ask the multitudes tonight who are in the valley of decision, what are you going to do? Decision time. But then, I want you to note not only the people, but the problem. Because the verse 14 highlights the problem yet again. It says, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near. Oh, beloved, maybe you think, well, preacher, it's a long time off before I die yet. Oh, preacher, it's a long time yet. Don't get so excited, preacher. I've got my whole life to live. Friend, you don't have a clue where the next breath is coming from. You don't know if you'll live even to see the end of this meeting. I remember talking to a minister in one of our churches, and he was telling me this story of how he was preaching at a funeral. And he was preaching the gospel at that funeral, and how suddenly at the back of the church, there was a bit of a hullabaloo on the back pew. And there was a lady that had collapsed in the funeral, and as he was preaching, as he was sounding the alarm, as he was telling them that the day of the Lord is near, that woman had died in the pew. And she had gone out into God's eternity. Oh, friend, we don't know how long we have left. That's what our verse is saying. The day of the Lord is near. The judgment day is near. Oh, friend, it may seem like years off. But even if it be years off, James tells us, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You ask any of the older ones, young people, and they'll say to you, those that are maybe in their 70s, in their 80s, in their 90s or older, and you'll say, where did the years go to? And they'll say, I don't know. It was like a flash. It was like a blink. It only seemed like 5 minutes ago that I was a young man like you, a young woman like you. Friend, time goes fast and the day of the Lord is near. So decision time. Decision time. You see, the problem here for the multitudes, these multitudes in the valley of decision, the problem is this, that the judgment is near, the day of the Lord is near, but so many still find themselves in their sin. So many. Oh, so many. They still find themselves in their sin, in their lawlessness, in their spiritual criminality before a holy and righteous God. And you say, well, preacher, what do I do? What do I do? Yes, I acknowledge I'm like these people. I'm like the multitudes here. I'm like the multitudes that are being appealed to. And yes, preacher, I'm in the valley of decision. Maybe you say, well, preacher, there's a problem here. I know there's a problem here. I know what Hebrews 9:27 says when it states it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. I know what the Bible says, and I know the problem that is there. What must I do? Well, in our verse, we not only find the people, the multitude. We not only find the problem, the day of the Lord is near, but we also find, thirdly, the persuasion. Praise God, you can be persuaded tonight. You see, God, even though I don't deserve it, and even though you don't deserve it, God has loved us. Oh, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us. The Bible says, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, beloved, listen to me as I say this. Christ died for men and women, boys and girls, in the valley of decision. And tonight you can be persuaded to follow Christ. Tonight you can be saved. Tonight you can think much of the Lord. Tonight you can understand that Christ died for the ungodly, and praise God, Christ died for you. So I ask you, are you going to accept it yet? Let me just tell you for a moment what Christ has done. Christ came down from heaven's glory to this wicked world of ours. Christ lived an absolutely perfect life. Christ then died. Did you hear me say that, friend? Christ then died upon the cruel cross of Calvary, and he shed his precious blood for us. He shed his precious blood for me, and he died for my sin. And he died for his people's sins. And I ask you tonight, do you know, as you stand in the valley of decision, that this is me? He died for me. Friend, I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And the verse 11. Through to the verse 15, tells us all about the day of the Lord. It tells us all about the judgment day. But friend, listen to me as I say this. It tells us all about those that remained undecided in the valley of decision. It tells us about those that remained in their sin and rejected Christ. And it says in Revelation 20 in the verse 11, oh, listen to me if you can't find the place. It says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Oh, beloved, this isn't a pleasant scene. This is a solemn scene. And if you stand in the day of the Lord in your sin, then you will tremble in your sin. And it says in the verse 11, and there was found no place for them. You see, there's men and there's women, and they want to run when it comes to the fierce anger of the Lord at the day of judgment. But there's no hiding place now. And it says in the verse 12 of Revelation 20, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Oh, it doesn't matter whether you're the richest man in the earth, the greatest man in the earth, or the smallest, lowly, pauper in Dromore tonight. All will stand at the judgment before God. And it says, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that which were written in the books according to their works. So when it comes to the day of judgment, you will be judged as to whether you made a decision to repent and believe the gospel. Have you got it yet, friend? And it says in the verse 13, and the dead and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Look at it now. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Look at this verse now, verse 15. It says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, friend, to stay in the valley of decision is not good enough. If you don't follow Christ, if you don't repent and believe the gospel, then the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, which is near, it will not work out well for you, friend. Because as our brother quoted in his testimony, Genesis 6 verse 3, my spirit will not always strive with man. You'll not always get an opportunity to sit in the field of Dromore Free Presbyterian Church and have the opportunity to get right with God, to get saved, to repent, to believe the gospel. One day, friend, in the valley of decision, time will run out. That's why the scriptures say it is time to seek the Lord. So tonight is decision time. Which will it be? Which will it be? Christ died for the ungodly, folks. But I ask you, which will it be? Will it be heaven or hell? Will it be Christ or the devil? Will it be sin? Or will it be holiness? Will it be death? Or will it be life? You stand in the valley of decision. And I ask you, which will it be? I'll close by telling you a true story. One of my neighbors back in England, he was a man that was a bus mechanic, and he would have had a contract with the local bus company. And he was a young man with a young family, no doubt thought he had the whole of his life ahead of him. As far as I know, in the valley of decision, with no time for God or his salvation. And this man, he was called up one day to fix a bus that had broken down. A usual thing. He'd done it hundreds of times before, no doubt. He went to attend the vehicle at the side of the road. He saw what the problem was. He had to climb underneath this double-decker bus. He jacked the bus up into the air higher and higher and higher. And he crawled underneath the bus. But then in a moment, friend, in a moment that young mechanic didn't think would happen, in a moment that he did not foresee and which anyone around him did not foresee, on a pleasant day like this, suddenly there was a strong gust of wind that lifted the bus just enough to take it off the jack. And underneath that bus, that young man in a moment, he was crushed. He was sent into God's eternity. And he left behind him a wife and young children that are still my family's neighbors today. You see, friend, you may not think that the day of the Lord is near, but it could be closer than you know. So I ask you, are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? And maybe you're here and you're saying, well, preacher, I'm not ready yet. And I'm in the valley of decision tonight. And I want to get out of that valley and I want to be saved tonight. Maybe you say, preacher, what must I do to be saved? Praise God, there is an answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You see, in our text, it says in chapter 3, verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. How do I get right with God? Chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. The valley of decision. Decision time, folks. It is time to seek the Lord. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed in the Lord's presence, please. And I'm reliably informed tonight that there are still people in this meeting in the valley of decision. And you're not saved. And you know you're not saved. And you need to be saved. Oh, friend, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, as God's people are praying for you now, will you not come? Will you not turn from your sin and believe the Savior? You say, how do I do it, preacher? Just pray right where you are, in the vehicle where you find yourself. Just pray, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And praise God, he'll save you. He'll take you. He'll redeem you. What are you waiting for, friend? Christ stands with arms wide open, ready to receive you. But listen, beloved, the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. If you want to speak with us, then pull into the car park. Come into the main church building. We'll speak all night long with you if you wish. We're no rush away. But get saved tonight, friend. Get saved. Get saved now. Lord, bless thy word to each heart. Save us all, we plead. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.